Well, that's kind of funny. When I first came up here, this whole section was like no one here at all. So, nice. Before I get started, just a reminder, if any of you guys, I wrote this last year, this is a daily devotional. We're into a brand new year. If any of you guys don't have this, there's copies up on the desk right by the front entrance. There's three up there. I've got one here. There's a whole bunch more in there. So if you don't have one and when you'd like one, please help yourself. Donna and I put these together for you guys, to serve you guys. I don't have any birthdays or anniversaries on my list, so is there anybody that has birthdays, anniversaries that I don't know about? Wow. So this is like 2 weeks in a row. Did we just used up all of your birthdays already and all your anniversaries? Wow. Well, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you because we are a church body. We are a family. And we do want to stand with each other. We want to celebrate each of those moments, each of those mementos of time passing, and each of those moments that mark something that you have done and continue to do in lives. So we thank you and praise you for that. And I speak your blessing as we get started this morning upon each one of us, those that are here, those that are not here. I speak your blessing. I thank you and I praise you that our hearts are open to hear and receive your word as you share with us this morning, but your word as you speak to us individually throughout this day and throughout the rest of this week. We give you all the praise and the glory. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, in our Bible study, which, by the way, is tomorrow night, we've had off last time because it was Christmas Eve, but tomorrow night we have our Bible study. You guys are all welcome. In our Bible study, we're currently in Acts chapter 9. Now, in the chapter right before that, in Acts chapter 8, if you remember in the story, Saul was heavily persecuting the young church. But by chapter 9 of the book of Acts, Saul's already had his conversion experience on the road to Damascus, and Saul is preaching the word of God. And so for the church, there was a period of rest. There was a period of peace from persecution. We read that in Acts 9, verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So in that period of peace, the persecutions had stopped. In that period of peace from persecutions, this was a time for the church to be edified and to grow, to multiply. Now the word edified literally means to be built up. It means to be encouraged. It means to develop character, to build up the character. But the Greek word that we read in this verse, the Greek word that we read as edified, that word means, and remember this throughout the rest of this message this morning, that word means to erect a building or to build a house. So to be edified is to build something up. It is to build up a building or a house. So, during this time of peace, this peace from persecution that the church was going through, they were supposed to be built up as a house. They were supposed to be growing and multiplying. Now, let me go forward about 1900 years. Just after the Second World War, in our country, in our nation, there was just such a time of peace in the church. Because church life and church activities were an accepted part of almost everyone's life in this country at that time. There was no persecution in being a believer in Jesus Christ. It was a time for the church. It was a time of peace. It was a time for the church to be built up. It was a time for the church to grow. It was a time for the church to multiply and expand. That's what that time, that season was. But it became, unfortunately, it became a time of compromise. It was a compromise because so much of the church, they retreated from the Word of God and they compromised with the world. It was a time of compromise because so much of the church, they accepted the standards of the world in place of the standards of the Word of God. They accepted the standards of the world in almost everything in life, from how to raise your children, to fidelity in marriage, to alternative lifestyles, even to the sanctity of human life. And those are just examples. We as a country, we missed the opportunity. We missed the chance. in that period of peace, to be built up. We didn't take advantage of that moment of peace. And as a result, the church itself was not built up. And as a result, the church didn't multiply and it didn't grow. In fact, the church has dwindled in both numbers over the last 60 years. It's dwindled in numbers, and it's certainly dwindled in influence. So that time, that season that we had, that season of peace from persecution for the church, that's past. Now, persecution, it's mild. It comes in the form of mockery and rejection. But persecution of the church is a growing thing in our culture. This is something that is growing and advancing. This is where the culture has gone to. We've missed that opportunity. But it is still a time of edification for the church. This is still a time and a season for the church to be built up. It's still a time. It is time for you and for me, for each of us, to do the work that Jesus has set before each one of us to do. It's time for each one of us to do the work set before us to do. It is time. Listen to this from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This is chapter 3, verse number 1. For everything there is a season, a right time. I tell you, it is time. For everything there is a season, a right time for every intention under heaven. It is time, church. It is time for us to do the work that He has set before us to do. It is time for us to be edified as we build up the house of God, doing the work that He's called each one of us to do. Listen, every single one of us, every day, He has things for you to do today. He has things for you to do this week. He's got things for you to do in this season of your life. He's got things for you to do that are lifelong. He has things that He has assigned you to do and no one else. It is personal and specific for you. It is time for us to do the work that has been set before us to do. Now, last week, we were looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians. And we saw from Paul's letter to the Colossians that faith, and I love this imagery, we saw that faith is leaning upon Jesus. It's leaning upon Jesus to the point of falling upon Jesus. And we saw the ultimate example of that with Jesus and His disciples at the Last Supper. And there we saw that John describes his place, his position at the table with Jesus. He describes it in this way. This is John 13, verse 23. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. This is the picture that I wanted you to take with you all of last week. I wanted you to see yourself leaning upon Jesus, falling upon Him. That's what faith is. Reclining upon Him. Jeremy sent me a video that, when did you see that video? How long ago was it you saw that? So back in February, he saw this video and it clicked in his mind. It was a video, it had to be Billy Graham back in the 70s because they showed some of the people, they had, you know, the guys had the sideburns coming down like this and they had the wide ties and Billy Graham had, he had like a little wave going on in the back of his hair. So this looked like it was back in the 70s. And it was really cool because Billy Graham was talking about the same thing. He was using some of the same words. Where I use lean on and fall on, he used recline. And he said he was talking about reclining upon God. And the illustration he used is a wonderful picture. He said, picture it this way. He got this from someone else. He said, faith in Jesus is reclining on Him. When you recline on something, it's reclining on something like you would recline on a chair, where every part of your body is supported by Jesus Christ. This is what faith is. It's leaning upon Jesus. It's falling upon Him. It's reclining upon Him to the point that He is carrying every part of your body. So know that you are loved by Jesus. Take your position then. Take your position as the beloved of Jesus. Take your position as the beloved disciple of Jesus. The position and the place that God has designed and prepared for you is that place of leaning upon Jesus, falling upon Jesus, reclining upon Jesus to the point that just like John, you are laying on the chest of Jesus. This should be your picture. Let me borrow your head. Yes. So, I guess maybe I'm not as tall as I thought I was. Come over here. I thought I was much taller than you are, but apparently not. So just picture this. Donna's head upon my chest. Now picture that if Donna was just reclining on me, that I was supporting the entire weight of her body and holding her. This is the picture that you should have of falling upon Jesus. Thank you. You're a good demonstration. This is the picture that you should have of leaning and laying upon Jesus with your head laid upon him. And picture the face of contentment and peace. You picture yourself in that position, and what have you to fear in your life? This is the position that we're supposed to have. This is the picture that we got last week. So if we continue on just a little bit further in Paul's letter to the Colossians, later in that same chapter, Paul speaks about his service to the Lord. And he talks about his call in the ministry, his call to be a minister sacrificially for the people. Then in the opening verses of the next chapter, the second chapter, he encourages the people and he builds them up. And then he says this to them specifically in verse number 6. So this is Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. And you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord. So walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. So the first thing we saw Paul doing, Paul was showing us what our position is in Jesus as believers. And our position in Jesus Christ is leaning upon him. It's reclining upon him. It is falling upon him. It is laying upon Jesus so that your head is laying upon his chest. Paul first shows us our position. And I'll tell you what. When I said I wanted you guys to have that picture in your heads, even this past week, he brought that picture to me because he showed me there was an area that I was worried about something. When you're worried, you're not reclining. When you're worried, you are upright. And Jesus showed me the picture, and he said, you're not reclining on me. And in that area of my life, I was nervous. I had to get myself pictured reclining back in Jesus. So the first thing he does is he shows us what our position is. But then in this verse we just looked at, Paul instructs those of us who have that preferential position, who have that preferred seating in Jesus Christ, where we are laying on his chest. Now he instructs those of us who understand that we have that position. Now he's showing us and instructing us to regulate our lives so that our lives conform to Jesus and his will for our lives. So let's look at the word regulate. I think I gave this to you. Yeah, I think we have this definition for you to look at because I want you to see this. So by definition, in Strong's, this is what the word regulate means. It is to govern or direct according to rule. It is to bring under the control of law and constituted authority. So from your position reclining on Jesus Christ, laying upon him, from your position laying upon Jesus Christ, we are to govern our choices so that our choices every day, our choices conform, they align with his plan and his will for my life specifically. It means that I am submitting myself to his authority and I'm living by his standards. It also indicates that I am then rejecting the standards of the world and rejecting the world's rule over my life. So we picture yourself in that position. And because we have that position, knowing you have that preferential seating in Jesus Christ, live your life conformed, regulate your life to his will for your life. Now look, as we enter into a brand new year, entering into a new year is a great time to ask ourselves some questions. So here's the questions we should ask, just some of them. The questions that came to my mind based on these things that the Holy Spirit was showing me. Here's the first question. Am I reclining? Am I leaning upon Jesus to the point of falling upon him? Am I laying upon his chest? Second question. Am I regulating my life so that my life conforms to his will and his plan for my life? Which leads to the next question is, do I know what assignments he's given me? Do I know what tasks are before me? Do I know what plans he has for me personally, individually, that he hasn't given to Jeff or Don or Jim or Tony, that he's given to me? Do I know what those assignments are in my life? And am I doing the work that he called me to do? There are things in this world that Jesus has called me to do, me specifically to do. Again, they can be great things, they can be small things. They can be things for today, there's things for this season of my life, there's things for my overall life. There's things that he's called me to do, and there's things that he has called you to do. At the start of the year, it's a good time to ask ourselves, do I know what those assignments are? Do I know what that task is? He's got things that he has planned just for you to do. Now, the world around me, picture this, the world around me is waiting for me to make Jesus and his will my priority over every other thing in my life. The world around me is waiting for me to make that priority. That's when the supernatural happens. That's when things that you could never imagine or think of take place. That's where the amazing unfolds before you. The world around you is also waiting for you to do the same thing. The world around you is waiting for you to make Jesus and his will, to make that the priority of your life over everything else. Listen, the world will tell you that, yeah, but it's hard to align myself with the things of, what if Jesus, to do things for Jesus, I'd much rather be doing things for myself. I would much rather be doing things that I want to do. Well, let me just ask you this. We've all done that in our lives at some point. Was there comfort? Was there fulfillment? Was there peace? Was there joy? Was there satisfaction of any kind? I submit to you from personal experience both ways. I tell you that the only time that I have peace, satisfaction, joy, and I see truly the power of Jesus Christ moving in ways that I never would have thought or expected, is when my life is aligned to him. Aligned to him and his will. When I relegate my life and conform my life to Jesus and his will. Because he has, listen, if the place that he has for me, if the position that he has, it was with my head on his chest. And Jesus, I told you guys last week, I tried to find a good picture of this. I could not find a picture that, to me, conveyed this image. Because I wanted to be able to show you guys just a picture. I could just see Jesus' face with love and peace and being proud, holding, insert your own face there, on his chest, and his head resting on you, his lips kissing the top of your head out of his joy and love for you. That's the position that we're supposed to have. This is where the joy comes from when we're doing the things that he has called us to do. Again, I submit to you, as we start a brand new year, it is time. It is time for each one of us to listen, to know, and to do the things that he has set before us individually to do. Now, in the book of Haggai, God is speaking through his prophet. And he asks this question through the prophet. He asks this question of his people. So this is from Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now remember, to be edified means to erect a building or a house, to be built up. The people are saying it is not time to build the Lord's house. Verse number 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple lie in ruins? After 70 years of heartbreaking exile from the land of promise, from the land that God had set aside for his people. After 70 years of heartbreaking exile, God has now allowed some of the people to return back to Jerusalem. And he's allowed it for this purpose, for them to start rebuilding Jerusalem, but specifically to rebuild the temple. Now, for those initial returnees, those initial people of God that came back to Jerusalem, this was a daunting task. This was a hard thing to do. They had to, first of all, remove all of the rubble from the destroyed city of Jerusalem, all of the rubble from the destroyed temple, and they had to then start beginning to do the work of rebuilding. But at the same time, they also had to build houses for themselves. They had to build houses for their families. They had to create a livelihood in what was a destroyed city. It was a hard task, but they began to do the work of rebuilding the temple. Good. But then we read in the book of Ezra, then we read that the work on the temple stopped. The task that was before the people had to seem overwhelming to them. They were limited in number. They were limited in resources. And the people who resided in the land that they returned to, their enemies, they did everything they could to create impediments to the work being done on the temple. For more than a decade and a half, the work on the temple had stopped. It had ceased altogether. But during that decade and a half, the people, they kept working. They kept building their own homes. They kept building up their own houses, their own lives, their own comfort, while leaving the work of the temple undone. And that's why God then speaks through his prophets. He speaks through Haggai and he speaks through Zechariah. And he reminds the people that their first priority, still true for us today, he reminds the people their first priority is to do the work of God. Now, because the people, they saw this task as overwhelming, it had to appear to be impossible in the natural. Because it was overwhelming, and because the people did not see, they didn't see God moving to provide the things that they needed to rebuild the temple, they then assumed it's not yet time to build the temple. And so they waited. They waited for the Lord to move before they would move and do the work that he had assigned and given them to do. They waited for the Lord to move before they would move. But they continued to build up their homes, their lives, their comfort themselves. We so easily do the same thing. And look, we're talking about building up the house of God. We're talking about that, this being the time, this being a season of edification. We talk about edification, meaning to erect or build the house. It's easy for us to fall into the exact same mode of those people all those years ago. But we are the temples. We're talking about building up the house. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit today. We are his representatives to a fallen world. And each one of us as individuals, we have assignments and we have work that has been given to us to do in this temple. Now listen, it's easy when we look and we see the assignment, or we look and we see the work. And in the natural, if you can hear what Jesus is telling you to do through the Holy Spirit, you can hear the assignment. And sometimes in the natural, you think, well, that's impossible. I can't do that. And when we feel like the work is impossible, we then allow the work in these temples to cease or to stall. And then just like the people in Haggai's time, just like them, if we don't see God moving to provide the materials, the resources that we need to do the work that he's called us to do, if we don't see God moving first, then we wait. We then don't move until we see God move. We still build up our own homes. We build up our own lives. We build up our own comfort. But we wait for the Lord, waiting for Jesus to move before we move on what he's called us to do is backwards. And it will never work. If Jesus tells you to do something, it doesn't matter how impossible it seems. Listen, in the natural, it seemed impossible to do where we're sitting and what we're doing. It seemed totally illogical and impossible to Donna and I 10 years ago when he said, start the work. We didn't wait until Jesus started providing the resources, until he gave us a place. We started to do the work. And when we did the work, he took care of everything else. He made the provisions. If you wait, it's backwards to wait for Jesus to move on what he's told you to do before you start moving. It's backwards. That's not leaning on him. That's not falling on him. That is not regulating your life to conform to his will and his plan. Now is the time to do his work through this temple. And I'll tell you what, it is in the doing of the work that he's called us to do, it is in that doing that I am edified. Remember, edified means to construct. It means to erect. It means to build the house. When I'm doing the work that he has called me to do, when you do the work that he has called you to do, that's when you are building up his church. That's when you're being edified. That's when you are building up the house of God. That's when he's using you to build up his house. Now, in the people in Haggai's time, when they weren't doing the work in Jerusalem, when they weren't building the temple, God brings his two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. And through his prophets, he reminds them why they're in Jerusalem. But if you read through both of those prophets, you also see that both of those prophets, through God is encouraging his people through both of those prophets. And those prophets remind the people that God is their source. What's the work that he's called you to do? Big or small, what is the work he's called you to do? You need to know that today, and you need to know it this year. Brand new year. Listen, with God, he doesn't break things up into years. But for us, it's a timeline for us. It's a time for us to look and say, look, here's a fresh start. Because every day is a new beginning in him. So we need to know what he has called us to do. We need to hear and know what those things are. And we need to move in those things. So then the prophets, they encouraged the people, but they also reminded the people that God was their source and that God had all of the resources that they would ever need to do the work that he had called them to do. They just had to set themselves in motion to do the work. Once they would set themselves in motion to do the work, God would take care of the rest. Once they set themselves in motion, and that's exactly what happened at City on a Hill, everything else, which was impossible, all came to pass. You start doing the work. What is it that he's called you to do? Same thing is true today. That same principle is true for each one of us today. In the small things and the great things, what has he called you to do? Start doing the work. It is the time. Now is the time to do the work. So they're reminding all of the people that God will provide all the resources, and he was their source. So in the next chapter of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple should be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. God had all the silver. God had all the gold that was required to do the work. He had it all. He just needed the people to begin to do the work of rebuilding the temple. Well, today, you and I, we are the temple, and his glory dwells in us. The world sees the glory of Jesus Christ when I am doing the work that he has set before me to do. The world sees the glory of Jesus Christ when you are doing the work that he has set before you to do. So again, what is that work? I don't know. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's to learn to develop in the prophetic. Maybe it's to learn to develop your singing abilities. Maybe he's called you to have a ministry of prayer. You already know what it is. It's already in there. Sometimes we hear those things and we think, oh, that's not me. Listen, I will tell you, most of the things that God has called me to do in ministry in my life, I was totally ill-equipped for. almost he had me managing two different radio stations, Christian radio stations, over a 30-year period. Donna will tell you, leadership, organization, administration, those are not my strengths. Those are the opposite of me. And when I was hired at Yes FM to take over, I thought they were hiring me because they were waiting for the station. They wanted someone to take the station from one spiritual level to the next. That's what I'm gifted at. No, what they needed was someone to get them out of a $750,000 debt. I don't even take care of our finances at home. Yet that's what God, which is why we have clothing, a house, and cars and stuff. God called me, and everything I've ever done, he called me to do things that was not my gifting or my strength. It had to be me falling upon Jesus, regulating my life according to his will and his plan. Then he could do the supernatural things. He could do the things that I could never do. So you need to ask. You probably already know, but you need to ask, Jesus, what is it you have for me to do today? What do you have for me to do this month, this year, this season of my life? What is it you have me to do? And then it's going to seem impossible. That's okay. Take the steps. Just start moving forward and taking the steps, and he will make provision for everything that you need along the way. Now, at the same time that Haggai was writing, the same year he was writing his letter, his book, in fact, only a few months later, that's when Zechariah is writing his book as well. Here's what Zechariah says to the people. This is Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Yes, here we come again. This is another verse that I'm going to look at and tell you. This is one of my favorite verses. Add this to the list of about 150 so far. Then. So he answered and said to them, this is Zechariah 4, 6 and 7. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. He shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. We're called to do things, and those things sometimes appear to be mountains, great mountains. Who are you, O mountain? The work that you're called to do, what you are supposed to do for Jesus, you're not going to do it in your power. It's not going to be done in your power, your strength, your might. It's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's when you realize that you don't have the might, that you don't have the power, that you don't have the abilities to do the work that he has set before you to do, that's when you know you're doing his work. If I can do it myself, I'm not doing what he's called me to do. If you can do it yourself, you're not doing the work that you're called to do. Do that which seems, listen to him. And don't disqualify and say, well, it's not me. You didn't create me that way. Let him decide. He's the one that created you, and he knows exactly the purposes he created you for. And he knows the glory that he gets when you do things that are outside of the realm of your abilities. When you do and accomplish things through his strength, through his ability, through him, that glorifies the name of Jesus. So no matter what size that mountain is, no matter how big that mountain of the task that he has placed before you to do, no matter how big it appears, all you have to do is just start walking forward. You just start taking the steps and do what he has called you to do. You take the steps and he will do the supernatural. He will take care of everything else. He'll take that great mountain and he will make it like a plane. He will make it flat and level, easy for you to traverse. But if you're just standing there looking at the mountain, waiting for the mountain to move, you're doing it wrong. You got to start moving in faith. Speak to the mountain, but you got to start moving. You start moving, he will make that great mountain a plain, easy for you to traverse. You do the work, and he will provide the supernatural. So God, when he was speaking through his prophet, Haggai, he was asking the people this question. He said, essentially, is it time for you to be building up your own houses, your own lives, your own comfort? Or is it time for you to be building up the house of the Lord? The same question is for you and I today. Still the same question. Is it time for me to build up my own house, my own comfort, my own life? Or is it time for me to be building up His spiritual house through this temple of the Holy Spirit? And listen, it's when I start to do His work, when I do His work instead of building up my house, that's when my house is taken care of. And let me tell you, He can take far better care of my house. He can bless my house. He can put me in a position of comfort far better than I ever could, despite the best, most ardent efforts I would put forth. So the question is it time for me to build up my house, or is it time for me to build up the house of the Lord through this temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, it's important for us to also understand the people that Haggai was speaking to, they were frustrated. So if you feel frustrated with life, listen, we're in a good crowd. Those people that he was speaking to, they were frustrated. Because in all these intervening years, a decade and a half, they stopped working on the temple. They've been working on their homes, their houses, their lives. And they're frustrated because they're not gaining at all. They're never getting ahead. They're giving their entire attention, their entire effort to their own homes, their own comfort, their own lives. And yet life is a struggle for them. This is the way it reads. This is chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. Never feel like that. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages and puts them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. We do the work that he has set before us to do. If we will do the work of building the house by the instructions that he's given to each one of us, if we'll do the work, he will be glorified. Through your works and through your efforts, he will be glorified. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Does it ever feel in your life that you never can get ahead? Do you ever struggle with that? I need to then heed the words that God spoke through Haggai. I need to heed those words. I need to consider my ways. Because you and I, each one of us, you have a part. I have a part. You and I, we each have a part to play in the spiritual house that Jesus is building. If you were here last week before praise and worship, I spoke to you about stones. And I'm not going to go through it all again, but you know, I love that verse that tells us we are each one of us. We are His stones. We are His living stones that He is using to build up His spiritual house. You and I, we are His living stones that He is building His house with. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You and I, we are living stones. Now, with that picture in your mind, go back and remember that first verse that we looked at this morning from Acts chapter 9, verse 31. And in that verse, it talked about how the church was to be edified and the church was to multiply and to grow. Edified means to construct or to build the house. You are a living stone of Jesus that has a place within the spiritual house that he is building. He's building the house. There needs not be gaps in that building, in that wall. You and I, we are his living stones that he's building with. So you and I, We just have to do the work. Listen. Ask yourselves those questions. Am I leaning upon him? Am I falling upon him? Reclining upon him to the point of my head laying on his chest? Am I regulating my life to the point of conforming my life to his will and his desire? Do I know the assignments that he has for me? That he, out of his great love for what he created in me, do I know what he has assigned me to do? And am I doing that work? Do the work. And if you say to yourself, I don't have the skills, I don't have the abilities, don't worry about that, because it's in his power. It's not in yours. You and I, all we have to do, we just have to lean upon Jesus, fall upon him, regulate our lives, and then move forward. Just take the steps to do the work that he has called you to do. It is time. And a brand new year is a good time for us to remember that and ask those questions. It is time. It's time for each one of us to find our place in his building, in his wall. It's time for us to place the spiritual stones of self into the house that he is building. It is time for each one of you. And that's where the peace, that's where the productivity, that's where the comfort, that's where all the great things that you're looking forward to in 2019, that's where all of those things are found. It is time. And I would even say this to you. One of the things that God spoke to me maybe a week before Christmas, he actually woke me up. And he said these words to me. He woke me up, heard these words, fell asleep. Heard these words, he woke me up. Thought about the words, and I fell asleep. I heard the words. It's like four times this happened. He spoke these words to me. Simple words. But he said to tell to the people, as do you. As do you. If you ever look at someone and say, wow, I wish I had their strength. As do you. Because it's in Jesus. I wish I had their faith. As do you. I wish they had their ability to what it fill in the blank. Whatever it is that you're looking at someone else and you're saying, I wish, I desire, I, Lord, I would like this. As do you. As do you already. As do you also. You have these things. They belong to you. So, the only thing that impedes me from moving forward and finding that peace, finding that comfort, finding that fulfillment, finding that joy, being able to glorify Jesus Christ through my life, the only thing that impedes me from doing that is my standing and waiting. Move forward. Lean upon him, regulate your life, and move forward. And you are putting the living stone of Jesus Christ that you are into its place in the spiritual house, the house of God that he is building. Amen. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you do have a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And if we've gone through our lives and we've felt like I am wandering, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know what your plan is for my life, I thank you that today we hear your voice. We know with certainty what you have called us to do, the work that you've assigned us to do. And once we know what that work is, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you stir inside of our souls an excitement and an enthusiasm. I can't wait to start doing the work. I thank you that you stir that within us. And every step that we take in doing the work, we see the supernatural. We see you moving. We see what you have, a little bit more of what you have planned. And we can then, as we take those steps, the only time we stop is when we fall to our knees and say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to have this role and this part in the spiritual house that you are building. That is what I believe for each one of us today and this year, that you are glorified, Jesus. We thank you and praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close with a song of praise and worship, thanking him.